right. Good evening. I don't even want to do this, Brian. Can you do this?
Are we going?
We're going?
I've never seen this side of it. This is intricately more complicated than I had actually imagined. There's a series of buttons. There's things you appear to zero out. There's timelines and volumes and testing. I thought there was literally just like a child's Walkman recorder. I thought the most complicated aspect was simultaneously hitting play and record at the same time.
Yep.
And I'm seeing now that there's somehow more to it.
There is. And this is just the beginning of it. You know, I got to edit. I got to do a lot of
post-production. There's post-production.
You know, on the last podcast, we had three different audio tracks.
And yeah, no.
You should be worried about this pickleball racket.
No, I'm picking up on that energy. Yeah. No, I'm gonna reach for my own pickleball racket, and it's clearly a defense-only mechanism. I'm gonna use a strong backhand grip to ward away any stravient pickleball paddle swings. And stravient's a word. Don't bother looking it up. It's actually a good Wordle word. It's five letters. Stravient. Five letters. Look it up.
Brian, why don't you introduce us and tell us why we're here right now?
Good evening, Brooks and Raymer podcast listeners. You are checking in to season 5 episode of the Brooks and Raymer podcast. This is a special episode, simultaneous recording, uno mono microphone, recording live in person, two of us together. We are celebrating the Final Four weekend. We are currently watching the remnants of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship basketball game, the Purdue Boilermakers against the UConn Huskies. Paul and I recently traveled to the greater Phoenix metropolitan area this weekend to attend live in person the Saturday Final Four games. We watched the Purdue Boilermakers defeat the NC State Wolfpack. Then we watched UConn also defeat Alabama. Who gives a shit what their mascot is?
The elephants.
The elephants, or they're tied. The elephant tide.
The crimson elephants.
The crimson elephants. That's not
the
a thing.
Tide.
That's a thing. That's not. There's no such thing as a crimson elephant. That's fictional. Also, I don't know how many Huskies remain in the state of Connecticut. Probably very few amount. We traveled to Phoenix. We watched two games in the Final Four. We came back on Sunday and got to watch the women's basketball championship game. And here we are at Paul's house watching his Purdue Boilermakers give their best efforts in the NCAA championship. In other news, Paul and Brian played their first game of pickleball today.
I don't know if we... Are you just trying to rub every salt in the wound
right now? I'm covering other news. There's another bit of other news that I'm not sure that you're aware of. Are you aware of why April 8th may carry other significance, Paul?
Is it your anniversary?
No. You were there at my wedding. I believe that you're aware. I got married in the month of June.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's happened April 8th?
Well, I'll tell you it's fictional, so it didn't actually happen, but it's worth celebrating nonetheless. April 8th, any thoughts? Any ideas?
Is this when Guy Fawkes stormed the Bastille?
No, I believe that was December 29th, if I'm not...
Is this when Marie Antoinette...
And also, that was not fictional. That did actually happen.
All right. Is this when Robin Hood robbed the gold from Little John?
Not given a specific date, as that fictionally constricted over a course of a period of time.
So, no, I don't know.
Today, April 8th, for those Empire Record fans, is Rex Manning Day. It is the day that the fictional record artist of the 90s, Rex Manning, attended the fictional Empire Records storefront in fictional New Jersey in fictional 1990s. It's Rex Manning Day in Empire Records. That's the thing?
Nobody knows about this.
Don't give me that look.
Nobody knows about this.
People who are aged...
Do you think on the scheme of significance of what I would like to talk about today, where do
it's
you
very
think
low.
This is?
Incredibly very low. Yeah. People who are aged 38 to 41... I'm very happy right now that I'm mentioning Rex Manning Day.
I'm in that age bracket. Don't know what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, a percentage of that demographic
is
very happy. All right, what would you like to talk about then, Paul?
Well, I wanted to capture in the moment my current angst.
Right, the game's still going on.
The game is still going on.
Yeah.
So Purdue was down 6 at half.
I'm sorry. I have a timeout. We're skipping some protocol. Paul, what are you drinking?
Actually, a Crown and Coke. I was not drinking because I had to wake up early in the morning. And Brian told me, and he was right. We can't do the podcast without a drink. So
I'm especially a podcast commiserating
a
wonderful season in which your team finished second in all of college basketball.
Ain't first your last, Brian.
And yeah, you have to have something in your cup. And Paul, tell me about the cup that you're drinking from.
I'm actually drinking from a men's NCAA men's Final Four cup that I got in Phoenix. Very happy. I am always one to when I go to big events, I get the souvenir cup.
Yeah.
And then I use them periodically to, you know, bathe my dog with, or every once in a while maybe drink out of, but not.
Yeah.
Not
most likely to water your plants,
water
I suspect.
Plants. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
That was, to my recollection, a $16 Diet Coke.
Very expensive. Yeah, because you can't just be like, can I get the cup? You
right.
need a giant Diet Coke.
And then, thank God, the cup itself comes with I'm not going to say the name, comes with the name of a prominent international
beverage
company.
Yeah.
You're all familiar with it. It has the double C, and... They did not subsidize our drinks because
even though it's on the cup,
it's
we
on
still
the cup.
Have to pay full price.
Yeah, more than full. Our drinks were not subsidized, and I'm here to tell you, the syrup and the soda water used to actually make our drinks.
Shut the fuck up. The UConn coach right now is bitching about a foul call, and they're up 18 with 3:42 left.
I see how that.
Like shut the fuck up.
Are you sure you're not going to knock your cup over with your... Yeah, that's a smart move. Move your cup away because the pickleball paddle does have a wide arc.
So, I didn't realize how much I cared about the game until we're watching it and I was getting worked up. And then I thought we had a chance for the first 10 minutes. I really did. I wrote some notes down. I said, not calling any fouls.
Yep.
That was just a statement, but I realized that was, you know, they ended up doing a lot of fouls on there. I mean, it looks like they've got a guard guarding Edie right now. So, Purdue not looking for the three. So if you're watch this game,
I agree.
They weren't able to get free. And I mean, those two right there really flavored how UConn got up big. I mean, they made good plays on offense, but they were hacking the fuck out of Edie.
Yeah.
And,
Before the game started, in my mind, and I think we talked about this, there were two elements that I thought would allow Purdue to make this hyper competitive. And the first was the UConn bigs would have to get early in foul trouble, and the second was the Purdue guards would have to shoot lights out from three. And unfortunately, not only did they not shoot lights out from three, but they didn't even really take that many
attempts.
They
didn't even shoot. Yeah. They shot 50% in the first half.
Well,
one for two.
Yeah, one for two. That's.
But they did get them in foul trouble, but it took until the second half, right? Which was too late.
It's too late. It's too late. Yeah.
And, I mean, nobody wants to hear about, you know, your bracket, but it doesn't help that I was going to win like $1,200 if Purdue won, and now I get... $0 because I will go from first to 10th or something.
Yeah.
That hurts too because I was looking forward to, you know, I do want to talk about, let's look at a positive.
Okay.
So let's talk about the ticket incident. Okay, so folks.
Yeah.
So I bought tickets for the first day session.
All right. Can I just, I'm going to interrupt. I haven't seen said tickets. I've been told said tickets exist. I personally have transferred funds via electronic transfer methods, which will be named upon sponsorship. Yeah, give us the sponsor. I'd be glad to tell you how I transferred electronically funds from one account to another. But until said sponsorship comes, just trust that funds are transferred.
Digital cash.
Yeah, I here now 2 days after the game. I'm not fully convinced that said tickets ever existed.
So,
because I was just told, and then when it came time to actually utilize the tickets, you know, the most important element. Look, anyone can buy tickets, but when it comes to just showing up to the ticket scanner, having the tickets to scan is an important element. You've got to hold the tickets, Paul. Anyone can just buy the tickets.
I get it.
Yeah,
Seinfeld
okay.
reference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we wait in the line. I've got the tickets on my my Apple wallet.
He says.
They're on my Apple wallet. I'm so excited. We get to the front. The guy scans them and he goes, that's not for today. That's for the championship.
That's for the wrong day.
And I was like, I didn't buy championship. game tickets.
Yeah, well, you have championship game tickets.
Well, you do. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, now I'm panicking. But I'm like, can I stand over here and figure it out? And he's like, okay, so we are through the gate.
Yeah, this guy is checking a solid four tickets per 10 seconds.
Yeah, like, just quickly scanning things through.
There's a legitimate 1,200 people behind us in the line, and Paul doesn't have the right day tickets loaded up. And the guy's cool with us just like hanging out next to him while he continues to continuously scan panicked visitors as they go through.
So I'm trying to figure it out, and I said, hey man, you know, where's the ticket office? And because I'm like, I think the guy just transferred me the wrong tickets is what I thought happened, right? Like, because I bought them, you know, on StubHub or something like that. And he points, and we start walking, and Brian goes, Paul, we're
Paul,
in.
Paul,
we're in.
Paul. Paul's about, we're on.
I'm about to like exit.
Yeah, we're on the backside of the ticket guy. Like, we're in the concourse, walking like in the direction of other ticket people.
Yeah.
And Paul's about to turn left, which is outboard, which is towards all the other waiting fans. And I'm like, Paul, 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 turn right, not left, turn right.
So we're in. And
and I say, Paul, point, we're in.
I'm like, fuck it. Okay, I'll figure this ticket situation out later, right?
I'm like, unnecessary. So, we're in. We can stand for the next 6 hours. I don't care if there's nine people with the same tickets. We're in.
So we go to our seats, and I figure out, for whatever reason, the guy, I bought just Saturday tickets, and he transferred me Saturday and Monday tickets. So which ended up being a windfall, because I sold the national championship tickets and made some money back.
All right.
So it did work out well, but there was probably 20 seconds there where I was like, this is not happening.
Yeah. So to all the rule followers, to all the Enneagram ones out there, yes, we did not scan tickets and we still gained admission. However, Paul says we possessed the tickets in which we utilized, mm-hmm. even if they were not scanned. So
we did.
No great harm.
What I will say is, I may have learned a lesson, which is maybe you just don't buy tickets. Maybe you just show up and you're like, and then you try to make it around, you know?
As I am no longer a resident of Portland, Oregon, I can confess that some of us in the Portland Run Club community have identified a alternative entrance maneuver to the Portland Timbers and Thorns men's and women's soccer teams. There's a specific entrance, and you go through the security, and then you take a hard right, and you go through a double-doored elevator as if you were going up to like the club-level seats, but then both sides of the elevator open, so you just walk through the elevator into the main concourse without ever having checked your tickets. The point being,
really expensive tickets, those Portland Timber
Timbers. Yeah, there's timbers. Many. There are many timbers, not just a singular timber.
Yeah. Have you ever heard anybody say Timbers?
Yeah. At many a soccer game in Portland, Oregon. Yeah,
but like, I think it's just a singular timber.
No, they say Timbers with the S. It's plural.
Do you know what timber means?
The trees
when
falling.
A tree falls down.
Right, but. What about the shards and splinters of the bark that fall off as the tree is falling?
Those aren't timbers.
That's timbers.
That's right. We'll look at this up later.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Point being, I agree that that stress point when 10,000 people are trying to scan a ticket into the entrance point is the point to attack if you were so inclined to gain.
Yeah. We could have gotten in for free.
Yeah.
We paid.
We did get in for free.
We did.
As it happens, we unnecessarily.
We also had tickets. But
according to Paul, he paid for tickets.
You'll never know.
I'll never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did have a really good time watching, you know, Alabama lose to UConn. We were hard rooting for Alabama. Ooh, by the way, this game is ending. Brian, you have the even or the odd?
I bet on the even.
Even. All
right. And
so
right now,
we're even.
2+8. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We wagered in Arizona. You can gamble. We gambled. I did poorly. Brian did very well.
However.
Oh,
you little bastard. I'm not sore that California doesn't allow online gambling. It's not a thing that I need in my life. It's something I only kind of enjoy on the fringes.
Yeah, I think it's probably for the best. You know, I lost 100, but I put it in as I'm fine losing this. It doesn't bother me.
Paul, do you want to tell our listeners about attending the Fan Fest on Sunday morning and how we obtained entrance to that?
That's true. We did we did the exact same maneuver essentially.
No.
I mean, when I walked up,
there's a fundamental difference between Saturday and Sunday.
Well, the woman wanted us to just go.
You think that's the case?
We knowingly cut the line.
We didn't cut in front of anybody.
We just didn't buy tickets. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't buy tickets.
We did not, in the societal graces of what's expected for common behavior, we did not cut in front of anybody. We waited our due turn, and then we got to the front where you were expected to show or scan a ticket. Paul asked a very mundane, bullshit, offhanded question, such as, how much do tickets cost? And then the woman explained her answer. And then we stood off to the side for a time of about 6 to 10 seconds and then just walked behind her.
Yep. Yeah. And did the same maneuver. It seems to work.
Yeah.
You put one hand in at the ticket person and he's like, look at this. And they just
sidle
into the side.
I think she had, of the weekend, she had the second lowest integrity standards for a ticket vendor person. She said the tickets are $10, and she explained what all was behind the closed door.
It was for kids.
And then she kind of stared at us and gave us like that quarter second eye contact of, why are two adult men by themselves without children doing this? And then she turned her attention to others. We gave it the requisite 4 to 6 seconds pause, and then simply walked behind her with no more consideration given.
It was a family and children's affair. I don't feel bad about not paying.
Nope.
We did not partake in pretty much anything. So.
And somehow that was not the worst example of corruption on a private economy scale. Capitalism is flawed in that it does allow for corruption on the lower levels of the intake structure. Right. So even paying for parking. Even paying for parking, Paul managed to find a corrupt individual and save $10.
This was actually pretty funny. So Brian was talking to these two gentlemen at our a dad and a son at our hotel, and the dad's like, "How you guys going?" And Brian just likes to share his and my life story with strangers.
I find no shame in my life, and so I'll share it at the drop of a hat.
He's like, "We're driving," and the guy's like, "Oh, can we get a ride with you?" Essentially, and Brian says, "Sure." I gave you a look. I wasn't upset by it.
I gave you a look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked. It was fine.
Yeah.
So we took this dad and the son. The dad's a Purdue fan. They're from LA.
Son's like 17, I think. Yeah.
Kind of a mundane car ride. And, the son's a Lakers fan. And now I kind of hate the son because he started talking shit about the Lakers and Pacers. And
the son is 17 and has very strong feelings about our bets and has never put any of his hard-earned money into a bet.
And tell us how to bet.
Yeah, look, I think you know some shit about math, but you don't know anything about earning some dollars and then putting it on the line.
Fuck off, little kid.
Yeah.
But anyway, we get to the...
Chris and Ryan, if you're out there, Ryan, I'm calling you out. Yeah. You're a Lakers fan. Guess what? That's not unique if you grew up in L.A.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed.
Nobody's impressed by having fucking LeBron and Antonio Davis.
If you can tell me you're not happy about my fucking UConn minus 11.5, you know what?
None of us know. Ryan, I'll be honest.
Yeah, like, you were ready.
I would have hit Ryan. He was getting a little on my nerves.
Paul, can I have the pickleball paddle?
No.
You could not. No. The answer, the question is, can I have your pickleball paddle? And the answer is no. I'm going to hold on to that. All right.
So,
well, I'm also going to hold on to mine. Yeah. All right.
So I've been holding this pickleball paddle as a
totem.
As a totem. I've been using it to ward off my dog as he aggressively tries to attack me during the game.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, we get to the line and the guy's like, "Yeah, it's $50 by card or $40 cash." You know. And he kind of looks at me and he's like, and I'm like, "Okay.
Yeah.
We have $40.
I have $40 cash."
I gave him the $40, which Chris and Ryan paid for gracefully, so we appreciate that. And we get through. And the kid has never seen this in his entire life, and he's telling every fucking person that he can see.
Well, we get like 3 seconds afterwards, and Paul's like, so that guy just pocketed our $40 and let us come in for $10 less than face value. And the kid is blown away, is unaware that corruption on these levels exists in the world.
He's never seen this. So then we get out, and there's another guy who's kind of driving us, which was cool. He drove us to the little putt-putt area. We played some fun putt-putt before. And the kid's just telling it. Yeah. And I'm like, the Lord, like, you are just...
When you're the beneficiary of some corruption... just
you don't advertise.
Yeah, just
as
swallow
we're doing
it
on a podcast, but you know.
Yeah, well, we've got no sponsors. Yeah. Venmo.
Yeah, we've got some space and time though at this point, right? It wasn't.
Yeah. Our potential for consequences is low. His potential consequences was also low, but also non-existent.
Yeah, well, we could have gotten the guy in trouble, you know.
Yeah, could have.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We went and played a fun putt-putt course across the street.
It wasn't that fun.
Brian talked a lot of shit.
That's what I'm going to do. That's my personality.
It didn't go well.
In a competition, I've got news for you. I'm going to talk shit.
Your laundry's done.
All right. I submit that was not a true putt-putt course. I was unfamiliar with the speed of the artificial turf.
Do you think I was familiar with it? Do you think I was, like, before you showed up to go to the game,
do you think
that I was playing putt-putt?
You've lived in California for a long time.
Artificial turf? What kind of putt-putt
I think
are your
The putt-putt courses in Oregon are real grass. Yeah.
That's
it's real grass.
Not true.
It's a crabgrass
Every
blend.
Every single one of them.
No, it's a crabgrass blend. Okay. Yeah. The ones that I've played, and this bullshit that they had in Glendale was artificial. Mm-hmm. You just breathed on that ball and it rolled 5 feet, right?
I figured out about hole two, the proper speed. I had two hole-in-ones, Brian. Proper speed to hit those balls. You couldn't figure it out. You almost hit it off the course a couple times.
Even if that was the case, we still entered hole 16 tied. So I submit that basically it was a pretty even odd game.
What was the final score?
I don't recall. I don't know. It was tied going into 16.
We're playing match play.
Yeah,
right?
You won.
I won by 9.
Well, only because you introduced some bullshit last three holes or we're two.
For your benefit.
Okay. That's now this is revisionist history.
Okay.
All right. This is a shame.
Would you like to tell them how you beat me at pickleball today though?
I beat you at pickleball today. I'm not surprised. It's the expected value. Wasn't even real pickleball.
Will
happy.
You admit though that I'm better than you thought I'd be. You thought you were gonna crush me in that third game.
Yeah.
You were a little worried for a second. I had you a little worried. I could see it. I think I was up one about halfway through the game, and I could tell his shots were getting a little more aggressive. It's a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I could tell.
Yeah. You're not
you
wrong.
Were a little worried.
Yeah. I would love to get you in a real two on two, like a two man game. I'd be your partner. I take you on.
You've been playing pickleball for
5 months.
Your 5 months of your fun employment, right?
Yeah, my fun employment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is now to an end. Today was day one.
Today was day one.
Day one of a new job.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Maybe.
You learned all of the. Oh, this is a fun story. So Brian's starting his job, and I said
today was day one.
Brian, they're gonna tell you that they're a unique company, and they have a lot of acronyms, and it's unique to them. That is not true.
Yeah. The occurrence of a lot of acronyms. Yeah.
Every company I've ever worked for tells you, guys, we're acronym heavy here. Yeah. Every fucking company in America has a lot of acronyms.
Yeah.
What did they say?
They said, watch out, guys. This company, a lot of acronyms. and Paul called it out yesterday, and he was spot on. Yeah. This company, you may be surprised to know, they care about their employees.
Is that why they allow wildfires to destroy entire towns?
Well, no, that's more a function of the physics of the weather and the job that's required to be done. And they talked about the mitigating actions they're doing, and I believe that that's mostly substantial. There was a lot of, a lot of numbers that were thrown out today that didn't have peer-reviewed footnotes. Just a number on a screen and without any like explanation or asterisk or studies or what I would say to be undocumented numbers.
Just some feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not new to our listeners that I'm a skeptic. And so when a company comes out and says 100% of some value or they've met 100% of some value for something that sounds good. Shouldn't surprise our listeners that, for me to say, I actually know how the physics of this work, and what you're telling me is unlikely, if not impossible.
It's not impossible.
Yeah.
Physics don't work like that, bro.
Yeah, and there are some qualifiers in the claim, but even with the qualifiers, my background, my 25 years in the industry, still tell me you're full of shit. That being said,
good first day.
Yeah, good first day. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
This is the kind of thing where there's a corporate parent company, and then I'll be at my local site and largely uninvolved in the the corporate parent company. Right. So today was a one-off. I will most likely never see any of the people that I've interacted with today ever again, and that's just the nature of large corporations. So
I want to say this is helping me not feel my despair as the fucking UConn Huskies are on the title board here, getting Ernie Johnson, giving him a trophy and all this bullshit. But all
right, so sports question for you.
Yeah, let's talk some actual sports.
All right, sports question, here it is. The last time college won back-to-back NCAA championship was Florida, and I think 2006 and 2007. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, I submit men's college basketball in general, but men's college basketball is a fundamentally different sport now than it was 2005 or 2006 and 2007.
Yeah.
Specifically, name, image, likeness, funding, and the transfer portal and the COVID allocation of extra years. It's a different sport. So, how would you, when someone walks up and they're a UConn Huskies fan, they say, Huskies are the first team to win back-to-back in almost 20 years. That means this UConn team is ranked among the greats. I would say,
I don't think anybody watching this UConn team is going to tell you this is one of the great college basketball teams, right? Last year, what were they, a four seed?
I don't know.
They were a one seed.
I don't know what they were.
This year, they were the dominant team.
They were the best team in the sport this year.
Yeah, but I would think the Florida teams were better. And so, I'm not going to disparage a fan that's happy about his back-to-back. This is what we are now, right? This is basketball, college basketball in general. So you're playing by the same rule. I mean, theoretically,
all teams are playing with the same rules.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue had a grad transfer, so did UConn had two.
I mean, yes, all teams are playing by the same rules, not same circumstances, right? Kentucky and Kansas and UConn can give more NIL, name, image, likeness, money than Grand Canyon University and Oakland Community College, even Utah State or BYU.
UCLA can throw as much money. Oregon can throw as much money.
Alabama,
Florida, all these big schools that have big sports programs. I mean, I would honestly say UConn probably has less money to throw at some of these people.
They're solely focused on basketball.
Sure, but
and they're between Boston and New York, so there's a lot of rich people that
I don't think that
live in UConn.
I think money is moving players. I don't think money is necessarily winning championships. I think that's kind of how I would say it. Now, if two of these guys off of UConn just randomly took money and went to, Auburn next year.
Yeah.
And Auburn won a title. I'd be maybe. But.
So Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is an Arkansas Razorback alumni. If Jerry Jones, who's a billionaire, if he came out and said, I'm going to give $40 million to the top four college basketball players in the sport next year. That's conceivable. It's fiction. I don't think it's likely. But, in a world of make-believe, it could happen. And he got the five best college basketball players in the game. I guess it could happen, but it's unlikely, right? Because, in theory, all of these major colleges have some uber-wealthy billionaire who could also do that. And so, ergo, there's competition.
I also think that there is some wariness, right? I think that the colleges don't necessarily want to get into it. Because who's to say, sure, great, that works great for Arkansas this year, but now they have to pay him again next year to keep him from... You know what I mean? There's a little bit of...
Banners fly forever.
Sure. But, do you want to start this? And also, how much are teams, are big donors really willing to pay for a year of a player, right?
If I'm Jerry Jones, what is $40 million?
I think Jerry Jones really focused on the Cowboys, who have not really won past... I don't think they won a playoff game in 25 years.
Let's talk
about...
It's a fictional exercise.
Let's talk about the NCAA women.
Okay, right,
so, We watched it with a bunch of Purdue fans, actually, at a pretty swanky hotel in downtown Phoenix.
Did you enjoy watching the game?
I would say I enjoyed the first half.
So you enjoyed it while it was competitive?
I enjoyed it while it was competitive.
And then
very similar vibes to this UConn-Purdue game, where it was like they were able to put the locks on Caitlin Clark. Yeah.
So while the game was competitive, you had fun, but as the game grew less competitive...
Right.
Your friends. Yeah. You know? No, well, and that, that makes sense.
But
I get that.
I will say, like, part of that fun was Caitlin Clark having 18 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, she went off.
Yeah,
right?
She went off, right?
That was fun.
You're thinking I was going to upset, right?
Yeah.
And so we've kind of talked about this back and forth about how do you think, when, because it was what, the biggest basketball viewing audience in.
So we saw.
It's hard to tell because ESPN's putting it out.
Yeah. We'll say that we're going to report another media institution outside of the Brooks and Raymer infrastructure. Yeah. Our reporting news gathering services are robust. So we regret to inform based off other institutions' information gathering processes. However, that being said, it looks like rudimentary early evidence indicates that the Sunday afternoon women's NCAA college basketball championship game, South Carolina, Iowa, was the most watched basketball game since 2019.
Yeah.
So that includes NBA Finals, NBA All-Star, men's college basketball game, most watched basketball game in 5 years.
Right.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I think my. And we talked about this, like, Caitlin Clark's going probably to the Indiana Fever. She's going to be in the WNBA next year.
Why are they the Fever?
I don't have a good answer there. I'm sure I can.
All right, we've established in previous episodes that you're not the person to ask about NBA or WNBA name and mascot origin.
Right.
Yeah. Is Indianapolis, like, a particularly hot area? Do people get sick there often? Is that why they're the Fever?
I just told you I don't know. Right. I can look it up.
All right.
But I don't know.
Paul Raymer will get back to you, folks. On the next podcast, we'll have a follow-up.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would just point out that, like, do you think you're going to be interested in watching the women's college final next year? If, let's say, it's South Carolina again and Dawn Staley versus Stanford and, you know, I don't know who the major players are, but, like, you don't really know anybody right now. They're gonna pump some people up, right? There's that USC girl that's pretty good. There's the LSU girl.
Notre Dame has a player.
Van Dyke, I think, is gonna transfer. Yeah. But there's a couple good players, but, like, they really need to make somebody the face of it for it to matter, because that's the only really reason this game was that big.
All right.
If it had been South Carolina versus... NC State or whatever the other team was, right?
Yeah.
Nobody would have watched this game. Not a single player.
I see your point, and I don't inherently disagree, but here's what I'm going to say. Look, a lot of this is messaging and marketing, and as skeptical as I am, as much as I hate that shit, I see that it's required. I see sometimes the value in it. I was drawn into the women's game this year because these institutions that funnel the messages, and that's ESPN and all these other radio and reporting agencies, because they talked about it and because they showed me the value of the story, they marketed it to me. They kind of fed it down my throat, but that had an effect. And look, I was inclined to buy in, and I decided that it's a fun storyline to watch Caitlin Clark against the LSU team, and I will never say Angel Reese took on a villain role. It was hero against hero, and anyone that wants to presuppose a villainous role for Angel Reese or LSU, that's some bullshit, and you've got some other shit to deal with. But what it was Bird against Johnson and Jordan against the Knicks or the Pistons. It was two Titans against each other competing, and I'm here for that story.
And I agree with you. But, like, there has been plenty of times that UConn women's basketball versus a Tennessee team were both undefeated or going into
I think the difference here is that there has always there. It's very common for the women's college basketball to have a powerhouse. UConn for 20 years, LSU or South Carolina. The powerhouse element is not new. What was different was that the number two team had a transcendent player. Talent.
Yeah.
A transcendent talent that you felt like...
And her team was not as good.
No.
Not as big, not as good. She was the only reason they're in it.
Yeah.
They're not bad players.
That was the difference. And it doesn't hurt that talent broke the record for most points scored ever in a college career. So, like, when you have that storyline and throw in the fact that they had played each other last year in the championship game, and now they get to play each other again in Elite Eight. Like, that element of super team against super player, and the super player happened to just break, 50-year-old records that were considered unbreakable. Like, in that specific element, it's very drawing, right? But, yes, you're right. Like, next year, there will not be... absent a breakage of expectations. There will not be a Caitlin Clark, and there will still be a super team. There will always be a super team in women's college basketball. But how competitive is the second best team? And that's, I think, going to be the element that brings people in.
So let me ask you this. All right, Caitlin Clark going to the Indiana Fever.
Okay.
With the LSU girl from last year.
Yep.
Two top. Are you watching the Indiana Fever now that Caitlin Clark is going to be on the Indiana Fever?
I'm not going to answer that in a black and white. I'm going to tell you I am more likely than I was a month ago.
So if she comes in and she's doing the same shit in the WNBA,
yeah.
I can see that, right? She's carrying this team that was last place last year.
Yeah.
I can see that being an exciting story.
And
me as a from Indiana, I have gone to Indiana Fever games in my life.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you that I won't watch them. If they nationally tell it, I'm not going to go out of my way.
Yeah.
But if it's fun and she's scoring 30 points a game and she's not having this, welcome to the WNBA. You know what I mean?
Well,
a lot of people seem to think that.
You know what? I might be here for some, 8-year WNBA vet just feeding it to her and shutting her off.
Yeah.
I might be here for that because that's competition, right? Like, all of us have a lot of us have, like, starred on a lower level, like, been a, medium fish in a small pond, and then all of a sudden, here you are, bloop, like, into the big pond or the ocean, and, that's a fun storyline, because Caitlin Clark at 21 or 22 is not what she's going to be at 25, right? She's still ascending.
Handle was not, they were hounding her.
She's got that skill, but there were times
a little loose.
Yeah, a little loose with it.
Yeah.
She's got the handle, but there were times where she, I think, puts too many moves together, and the defense was, especially South Carolina, was on top of her. Here's what I will say, and I hope this doesn't come off as sexist. When Caitlin Clark shoots a jumper, it just looks natural.
It looks like butter. It's smooth.
Smooth. It looks like Stefan. Like, it looks so natural. And even her logo threes, it looks smooth. It looks fluid. I expect it to go in a way that I've never seen another woman shoot it.
Even the South Carolina chicks that were nailing them,
it looks so much more mechanical.
Yeah.
It looks so much more robotic.
But I was thinking about this. She goes to the reason she was shut down a little bit is they had days to prepare for her.
Yeah.
Multiple teams did, right?
Yeah.
And they can lock her down and like really think about. But you go to the WNBA, you're playing, and it's kind of similar to the NBA where you're just kind of playing teams here and there, right? I think they play like 30 games somewhere around there.
Something like that. I can't remember,
but like. On a night-to-night basis, you're not going to be necessarily the focus of, like, a concerted defensive plan, right?
Yeah.
So she can come in and potentially just... people are not going to be ready for that, right? And, like, she's going to have way more talent around her.
More
than
talent.
She ever had.
But she's going to have more... So I think what South Carolina was able to do is they put size and speed against her that she was not familiar with, which is what she's going to see at the WNBA level.
Yeah, but I think if her center had also been 6'7",
yeah,
that would have been a different game, right? What, because she was able to get it to her so many times, she couldn't
finish.
So.
What the part of the Caitlin Clark game that I think immediately translate is the assists.
Yeah,
is getting,
she has those passes.
Is the the entry passes, Caitlin Clark's entry passes to the post to get her teammate in the post the ball. Her teammate, unfortunately, at Iowa was not able to really do anything with it in the way that I suspect her teammates on the Iowa Fever.
Yeah.
I think her scoring will catch up in 2 to 3 years, but I do suspect her scoring will take a significant hit. But it's still, watching her shoot a jumper is pretty smooth, man. Like, it just looks fluid. It looks smooth. It looks, it's a fun thing though. It's pure, right?
I wish I could shoot it like that.
You cannot. No.
All right.
Yeah, you can. We played Pig 2 hours ago. And,
yeah, I
and,
lost terribly.
Yeah, you cannot.
All right, we're gonna leave this on a last note. I didn't prepare you for this, Brian, but you've been pretty locked into the Royals here to start the season, and I believe they have a winning record currently. Is that accurate?
Give me
2 minutes on your Royals thoughts.
Right, I appreciate now. That. Yeah, we're 10 games in the season. The Royals are 6-4. We just swept the Chicago White Sox 4 games in a row at home. This may be the last time I get to say, we're 2 games over .500. The Royals went out and spent a lot of money. I think we're going to be a .500 team for the season. Our bullpen looks shaky. Offense looks, let's call it average to okay. And our starting pitchers look good, but inevitably there will be a statistical return to the norm. I'm excited to be a Royals fan this year. It's fun. For the last, let's call it 5 years, they've been objectively bad. They are no longer objectively bad. They are now hopefully average.
Right, but they're average where you come to the trade deadline, they might be buyer, right?
Yeah.
Like they're at that. They could be chasing a wild card, right? Like, they could be. That's a thing
that's
possible.
Yeah. That's,
And I know that's a ways out, but, like, that's something you hope for, where you're at least excited to pay attention to baseball in September,
yeah,
right?
They went to Baltimore. Baltimore is one of the top three teams in the AL, and they went 1-for-3. They only won one game, but the two they lost – they held leads into the ninth inning, and the Orioles walked them off, which means that the Orioles twice scored a game-winning run, and that means you get to, when you score the game-winning run, the game's over. You get to walk off the field, so that's a walk-off. It's a big deal in baseball. They only happen a few times a season. Well, Baltimore did it 2 times out of 3 against the Royals, which is a real kick in the nuts as a Royals fan, because you're like one out from winning. Almost
2 games, yeah.
Yeah, almost a sweep. And when you give up 2 blown saves in the ninth, that stings. That stings. Yeah. Stings
long,
as
long ways from Wade Davis, right?
Yeah. It stings as a fan. I can only imagine what that stings like as a player.
Yeah.
But also, it stings as a player. Imagine that, though. Put yourself in that situation. You're up a run or two in the ninth inning against one of the best teams in the American League. It's first week in the season. You're trying to start off strong. You give up a ninth inning lead. Fuck. And then you win game two. And now you're in the ninth inning and you're up a run. And your bullpen gives up another fucking run, another lead, and you lose. And you're walking back into the clubhouse. You're pissed. You're white hot. You're angry. But you got to walk back into that clubhouse. And you got a teammate that just blew that. Yeah. The same teammate that just blew leads in 2 out of 3 games. Like,
and you can't crush him.
No.
This early.
Yeah, man. Like, you're going to have to spend the next 6 months with that dude. Right? Like, I think that's the nature of baseball. I think that's the nature of life is you're pissed, but you have to coexist with another person who maybe let you down or maybe you let them down, right? Like, it goes both ways. Like, and I think this is how... And I think baseball is particularly in this way a perfect, well, not perfect, useful analogy for life about expectations and disappointments and successes and all the things that come along with the daily struggle of life and letting your friends down and succeeding and celebrating each other's accomplishments. Like, baseball in that way, I think, sets us up. Teaches us
great sports movies. Baseball has kind of the best sports movie of all, right? It's it has all those elements, and there's a lot of time between games. And
Setting yourself the next day when you've had this internal struggle and between friends, and the next day you go out and the score is 0-0, right? Yeah, like starting next day is another day.
All right, Brian, give me last thought here. Give me two names to look out for on the Royals, potential all-stars, whoever you think. Two right. names we need to look out for.
Yeah, Mikel Garcia, okay. Who's the Royals' third baseman. I'm gonna bypass the Royals' best player, Bobby Witt Jr.
His name.
Well, he just got signed to like a 10-year, $280 million thing. Mikel Garcia, he had 4 home runs in the entirety of last season. He had a high exit velocity. But he only had 4 home runs. So far, he has 3. He's 10 games in the season. He's got 3 home runs. So Mikel Garcia, I think, could be on the verge of a breakout season. And then this is a name that you should have known, but maybe... That was a little weird.
Little burp? Yeah. Throw up? Little throw up in your mouth there?
No.
Okay.
No, that's okay? That's not what just happened.
All right.
Something else that's dignified.
If you're going to tell me Salvador Perez,
nope.
I'm going to say... Something else.
So Cole Reagans is our ace opening day starter. Potentially, if he can stay healthy, the best pitcher in American League.
AL Cy Young.
Potentially.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like all the pitchers are getting injured right now.
It so does.
All he has to do is last him out.
Yeah, if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he can get to 32 starts, yeah. We got him in a trade last year at the trade deadline with the Texas Rangers. Yeah, I don't know why they traded him away, because the instant he came to the Royals, he was lights out, on fire. He won the Pitcher of the Month in August, like 5 weeks after we traded for him. If Cole Reagans can stay healthy and keep shoving like he is. Cole Reagans has a chance to be the AL Cy Young, and if you don't know his name, then you should learn it, because Cole Reagans can put him down. He can set him up and put him down.
All right. Yeah. With that, guys, Matt Painter is talking. He's not crying.
He's disappointed.
He's disappointed, but if he can keep it together, I can keep it together.
Yeah.
And appreciate you guys walking me through this. Honestly, yeah. It's a little therapeutic for me.
What are we at on our timeline?
Yeah. I don't know.
We got
1,400 bars.
What the fuck is that?
It's a different recording software than normal.
Yeah, so. That's a valuable metric. We can't see the time, but we can see the number of bars.
I'm sure that music people could tell us.
Thank God that was being accounted for.
All right, we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, have a good week there, Brooks and Raymond podcast fans. Thanks very much.
Thanks.